Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of dealing with sorrow, learning how to deal with the sorrow all of us experience when we lose someone or something that is dear to us. There's no way around that kind of sorrow and that kind of pain. You just have to go through it. But if you can learn to deal with it in a godly way, it will help you keep from descending into despondency and hopelessness. You have to know how to deal with sorrow in a godly way. We started working on this last week, and we're continuing this week. Now, yesterday we left off, we were making the point that the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to turn sorrow and mourning into joy. If you look at the Old Testament, you see that as a theme, that the Redeemer will turn our mourning into joy. He will turn our sorrow into dancing. Jesus, when he began his public ministry, applied a powerful prophecy about turning mourning into joy to himself. Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." I'm going to skip some of the passages in this prophecy and just focus on the ones that deal specifically with the Redeemer turning sorrow into joy. You remember in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus returned to Nazareth after his 40 days in the wilderness where he was tempted of the devil, he took the scroll of the prophet and opened to this spot and read this prophecy and told his audience, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ear." This is what Jesus came to do. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He's anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted." Binding the brokenhearted, that word bind was used to describe a binding or a bandage that would be applied so that healing would occur. There's help now. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. You're not always going to feel the way you feel now. You can and will feel better as time passes if you learn how to feed your hope. Verse 2 says he's going to comfort all that mourn. Mourning there, he's going to comfort all those that mourn. The idea here is that God is well aware of the hurt and the pain that we experience in this life. He keeps track of all our sorrows, every tear we cry, nothing is forgotten, and in the life to come, everything will be made to right. It will be made right. Comfort means to ease the grief or trouble by giving strength and hope. That's present tense help. And then in verse 3, it says, "The Redeemer gives joy for mourning." And we ended up yesterday with the question, asking the question, what could possibly turn mourning into joy? Well, obviously, reunion with your loved one or restoration of what was lost would do it. And that will happen in the life to come. But what does that mean right now? What is joy? He has joy for us. What does that mean? This joy is not an emotion. That's the first thing you need to know, although it can and will affect our emotions. This joy is first and foremost a state of mind based on your perception of reality. Joy comes from knowing the end result. That knowledge gives hope, which strengthens and cheers. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. His mindset was focused on the end result of what he was about to go through in the crucifixion. And that knowledge gave him strength and encouragement to go through the crucifixion. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. But there's more to it than just knowledge of what's ahead, which gives you reason to hope, which gives you reason to strengthen and cheer yourself in the midst of your loss. There's more to it. Now, we could do a whole lesson on what I'm about to say. and we will. We have and we will. We'll do it again. But let me just briefly make this point. When we were born again, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you've been born again. When you were born again, when I was born again, God indwelled us by His life and His Spirit, and we became partakers of the uncreated eternal life of God. When we're born again, we receive eternal life. Eternal life is not live forever life. We had live forever life before we were born again. Every human being has eternal life in the sense of living forever. From the moment of conception in a mother's womb, you've got a little eternal being, someone who's going to live forever. The only question is where. Are they going to live with God? Are they going to live with the devil? Are they going to live in heaven with Almighty God? Are they going to live in hell? So you had live forever life before you were born again. But when you became a Christian, excuse me, you received, I received, the uncreated eternal life in God Himself. We became partakers of the life of God. The scripture says we were actually united to the life in Jesus as truly as a branch is joined to a vine. Whole lessons here. We could do whole lessons. John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the New Testament. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That phrase, believe in Him, there, in the Greek, literally means believe into. When you believed on Jesus as Savior and Lord, you believed into Jesus. The Holy Spirit united you to everlasting life. He united your spirit, your inward being, to the life that's in Jesus as truly as a branch is joined to a vine. Jesus used that illustration. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. The branch draws life from the vine, partakes of the life of the vine. 1 John 5:11 says, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The next verse says, he that hath the Son hath life. If you are a Christian, if you are born of God, you hath eternal life in you now. You're united to the vine. You're a branch of the vine, and you live by that life. As a branch of the vine, we partake of the life of the vine. And we can now demonstrate outwardly what is in us through this union with Jesus and with the life of God. See, think about it. The branch is the portion on which fruit grows. Fruit is outward evidence of the life within. In other words, a tomato branch produces tomato fruit because it is connected to the life in the tomato vine. Well, you are now connected to a partaker of the life of God. In Him is life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You're in union with Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. The life that's in the vine is now in you to produce outward evidence, fruit. Now, like I say, we could do a whole lesson on just that point. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 tells us that one of the fruits of the recreated human spirit is joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, you're familiar with them. Well, one of those fruits is joy. Joy is a noun from a word that means cheerfulness. It means to be full of cheer or to rejoice or to be glad. Joy, the fruit of the Spirit, joy is in you. It's the joy that's in God. You are a partaker of the life that's in God. The joy in us, because we are born again, is actually spiritual strength. And, well, let me say it this way. It's one of the provisions we have from God to strengthen us now in this life to deal with the hardships and sorrows of this life. It is a strength, not a feeling, that keeps us going until we feel better. you will eventually feel better. The gut-wrenching pain that you feel when you first experience the loss does subside with time. But joy is a fruit of our recreated spirit, our spirit that is in union with the vine. It is a strength that will strengthen us until we strengthen us to stand until we feel better. However, we've got to learn how to draw upon that strength that's in us. Do you remember in John chapter 4, verse 14, while Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman at a well, he compared the life that he was going to bring to men through the cross and the new birth with a well of everlasting life. He said, the water that comes out of this well, lady, if you drink it, you'll get thirsty again. But I'm going to give you life that will be a well of everlasting life springing up in you. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3 gives us insight on how to draw on the joy of the Lord that's in us, or the well of life that's in us because we're born again. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3 says, we draw water out of the well of salvation with joy. This word joy here comes from a word that means to be bright or cheerful. Cheerful is not first and foremost emotional. When you cheer someone, you encourage them by giving them hope. You can make it. It's going to be okay. You'll get through this. See, that's not emotional. That's encouraging someone by cheering them, giving them reasons to hope. Now, verse 4 of Isaiah 12 goes on to say, and in that day you shall say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Here's how you draw water out of the well of salvation in you. Here's how you draw the fruit of joy out of the life that's in you because you're in union with the vine. We praise the Lord. Therefore, with joy, ye shall draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day you shall say, praise the Lord. To praise someone is not an emotional response to your situation or even a musical response to your situation. It means to extol someone by talking about who they are and what they have done. You draw water, you draw that joy up out of your spirit by beginning to talk about who God is and what he has done, is doing, and will do, and that activates the fruit of joy. More
You've
tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.